Right. Well, man, you guys look amazing, incredible. Almost mixed two words together there. I mean, you guys look great today for our 10 o'clock service Easter Sunday. It's a good day. It's a big day. And hopefully you're planning on having a big lunch today. I am. I'm going over to a friend's house that I crash every year. They're cooking a big, you know, get some ham and some good stuff. It's going to be good today. But we're here before lunch to celebrate a really big deal, and that's Jesus. And so what we've been doing over the last few weeks is we have been in the middle of this series called Jesus Is, which is really just a series about who Jesus is and who Jesus is not. And so we're going to end that series today on Easter, talking about Jesus, celebrating Jesus. But before we do that, I need you to help me out. I need you to do me a favor this morning, and I hate to ask you to do it, but I'm going to ask you to do it anyway because it's really important to us. In your worship guide, when you came in today, this is our worship guide. It's green. It says welcome home on the front. Hopefully everybody got one of these as you came in. Inside of there was a little white card that says you ask for it. Can you pull that out? If you could right now, would you just go ahead and pull out that card that says you ask for it? And we're starting a brand new series on July 13th. July 13th this summer, we're starting a series called You Asked For It. We did it a few years ago. It's one of our most popular series that we do because it is a series where we answer the questions that you're asking, which that's always a good thing. Sometimes preachers like me can answer questions no one's asking. And so we want to answer questions that you are asking. And so that's really what this series is all about, is you have questions about the Bible. How does God feel about this? Is, you know, what's going on here? You know, when's Jesus coming back? Which we don't answer that, but you can ask that if you want. And so what we want you to know, what we want you to do is to write down what you would ask. What's your question? I would like to know what the Bible says about, and then just write that in right there. What question would you like answered during that series? And so what we're going to do is take all of these over Easter weekend, because this will be the largest crowd that we'll have all year with Easter. Take all of these questions, narrow them down to the 10 most popular questions that we have. Then we're going to throw them up on Facebook, let you vote on them, and take the top five. And then Cecil and I are going to teach that together, and we're going to answer those questions for you. I like teaching it with Cecil because I give him all the hard ones and I take all the easy ones. So that's really exciting for me. So answer those, or write down those questions. And then today at the end of service, when we take up the offering, just drop those in the offering buckets so that we can have those. And that will really help us out for our You Ask For It series July 13th. We'd love to have you out for that. If you don't normally come to church, that's a good one to come to. It's always fun, exciting, and somewhat controversial sometimes, so that's good. Hey, my name is Jason. I am one of the pastors on staff here at the church. I'm the teaching pastor here, and if you're a first-time guest with us, we're really excited that you're here. You're why we do what we do on the weekends, and so that's a big deal to us. And so I've got about 25 minutes today to talk to you about Jesus, which is a big deal. To me, I've got 25 minutes to talk to you about who Jesus is, and specifically today, what Jesus is not. We're going to talk today about what Jesus is not. And so with this many people in the room and this many people kind of coming from different religious, spiritual journeys, tracks, there's probably a lot of different concepts or views or beliefs about who Jesus is, what Jesus is, what Jesus is like. It's kind of like, have you ever heard someone or heard about someone, but you didn't know what they looked like, and then you met them, and you're like, whoa, that didn't connect at all? Like, I listen to a lot of sports talk radio, and so sometimes I'll hear somebody's voice, and I think I know exactly what they look like, and then I'll see them. You ever had that happen to you? And you're like, that's like, that doesn't look like that guy at all, right? Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe you know what they look like, and so based on what they look like, you think you know how they are. And then you meet them and you get to know them and you find out that they're not really how they look. Well, I was thinking about that today, kind of coming into this morning, and I thought, you know, I wonder how many different views we have in the room today about who Jesus is. Maybe what even Jesus looks like. And so I got on Google and I just Googled the word Jesus. I just Googled the word Jesus and pulled up all the images that the internet has just for the word Jesus. And I grabbed a couple of the most popular ones that I saw, and I thought I would just show them to you this morning, and we would, we would just kind of figure out maybe what Jesus is, who Jesus is, what he looks like. So let's go ahead and throw a couple of those up on the screen. Let's look at the first one. This was by far the most popular picture of Jesus, and it actually kind of goes with the second one. If you want to go ahead and throw the second one up there, these two images were by far the most popular images of Jesus. And I got to be honest, and I want to be careful here because I don't want to make fun of Jesus, but I'm really going to make fun of this picture of Jesus. This is the wussiest looking Jesus I've ever seen. I mean, I'm serious. Look at that cane. I mean, that's like a licorice stick. I don't even know what that is. That's not a cane. And this is just a sissy Jesus. And when I read the stories in the Bible about Jesus, this is not what I picture at all. I mean, this is Project Runway Jesus. This is I Pet Lambs Jesus. I don't know what this is exactly. But what is he wearing? Like, that is, I don't know what that is. Like a pink bathrobe. I'm not exactly sure what that is. I saw these pictures. And listen, by far the most popular. By far the most popular. And I actually, if you grew up in like Sunday school or whatever, like you, if you ever had those felt boards, I'm going way back here. But anyway, this is kind of what Jesus looked like. And like, honestly, if you're a man in the room, maybe you've had some hangups because everybody that's a Christian is like a sissy or something. Like, that is not who Jesus is right there. Let's go ahead and look at the next one. This, I like to call this boy band Jesus right here. This is great hair, sexy stare into the camera Jesus. And like, this is Jesus is my boyfriend Jesus right here. And this is movie Jesus. All right, like every movie you ever see about Jesus, he's going to look something like this. He was incredibly well-kept for someone who had nowhere to stay, right? I've never seen a homeless dude look this good, right? And so this is kind of that, like, sexy, commercialized Jesus. Let's go ahead and look at the next one. Okay, this one's actually, like, this is a little Photoshopped, okay, obviously, but there were several kind of little different Photoshopped. This is Uncle Rico Jesus. This is I'm trying a little too hard Jesus. This is, hey, I'm cool, look at my arm tattoo, Jesus. And honestly, when I saw this picture, I just thought about church in the early 90s. And so I'm going way back for me here. But like, if you went to church in the early 90s, we tried so hard to make Jesus cool. Like, we tried so, so hard, and we never maybe went this far. But this is like, look at that look on his face. This is like, dude, how sweet is my arm tattoo, Jesus? Come on, right? Isn't that like, all right? And let's go ahead and show the next one. This is cool guy Jesus. This is car salesman Jesus. This is help me help you Jesus. I can get you into a great ride, 0% financing. Somebody said last night, this is youth pastor Jesus, which makes all the sense in the world. This is kind of that Jesus that's like, hey, me and Jesus, we're cool. We've got a deal. We got it worked out. Like, Jesus is my homeboy kind of type Jesus. This is, you know, maybe a lot of people kind of view him this way. And let me kind of just warn you about this next one. This next one's not actually a picture of Jesus. But when I searched for Jesus, this actually showed up. And let's go ahead and show that, Cody. But this is someone from Westboro Baptist Church. And I hate that they even call themselves a church because they're not a church. They're just a bunch of angry people that get together. But they protest lots of things. You've probably heard of this. Their pastor, which I don't even want to call him a pastor, their leader just recently passed away. But they protest funerals and all sorts of stuff, really everything now. And their view of God is that God is angry and that God is punishing you and hates you and that because we're sinful people, he's angry at us. Like, that's their view of God. They view Jesus like Jesus is angry. And their theology it's twisted. It starts out like just barely accurate and then it goes way off the tracks. Their view of God is that because like God punishing sinners makes him a just God, which that is true and accurate. We don't have time to go into all that today. But then they kind of leave out the whole love of God, even though they think that that's him being loving. They go way off the tracks, and their view of God is just Jesus is angry. Jesus wants to hurt you, punish you, do something bad to you. And so while we had a little fun with all these pictures today, it really just represents kind of the different kind of interpretations, the different kind of views for who Jesus is and who, you know, what he represents to a lot of people. Maybe you're here today and you would say, you know, Jesus is lame. Maybe you'd say Jesus is cheesy. Maybe you'd say Jesus is outdated. Maybe you'd say Jesus is restrictive, right? Maybe you would say Jesus is disappointing. I tried that. It didn't work out at all. But I think probably most of us in the room, we still kind of live technically in the Bible Belt, I guess. This is kind of still the Bible Belt. I think most of us in the room would struggle with and probably admit that we struggle with this idea of thinking that Jesus is mad at me. That Jesus is mad at me. And more specifically, maybe like Jesus is mad at me and he's going to punish me for being bad. It's a religious idea that's been around from the beginning of time. This idea that if I'm good, then God will be good to me, but if I'm bad, then God will be bad to me. It's kind of like viewing God as a divorced parent. And if I choose him, if I choose to live with him, then he's going to spoil me and give me all the good gifts that I want. But if I choose someone else, they're going to make my life hell. And a lot of us kind of view God in that way. That Jesus is mad at me. Jesus is disappointed in me. Jesus is wanting to punish me for what I've done. It's a very religious thought that somehow our actions determine God's actions. I was at the church one day a couple weeks back, and everyone had already left. The office was closed, but I was finishing some stuff up, and I hear somebody knock on the door. So I go out to the door, and it's this dad and his daughter, and they were looking for someone to kind of have religious talk, you know, with, and a lot of people stop by, and I get the same thing every time somebody stops by, like, hey, can we talk to the preacher? I'm like, oh, well, that's me, and they're like, no, the real preacher. I'm like, no, that's me. Like, are you the youth pastor? I'm like, no, I'm the pastor of the church. Like you pray with people and stuff? Yes, that's me. Okay. So after I convinced them that I actually am the pastor, you know, a lot of times people just want to vent and talk. And so they begin to kind of share some stuff that was going on in their life. And when they got done telling me, I just said to them, I said, hey, let's pray about that. I'd like to pray with you about that. You know, God can help you. God can help that situation. Let's pray about that. And so I'm standing here, and like they're kind of here. We're in like a little huddle. And I said, so let's just pray about that. And the guy's name was Mike. And when I said, let's pray about that, he goes, no, don't you pray for me. And it kind of caught me off guard because like normally people want me to pray for them. They think I have some kind of like special powers. My prayers are different than their prayers. And you know, like, and they're always disappointed when I get done. It's like, that's it? That's all you got? I'm like, that's it. That's all I got. And so but I said, let me pray with you. And they're like, no. He's like, no, don't you pray with me. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. He goes, no, I'm a stone cold sinner. Don't pray for me. And no telling what will happen in this building if you prayed for me. I said, well, Mike, I said, you know, God loves prayers from stone cold sinners. As a matter of fact, it's probably some of his favorite prayers, is prayers that come from stone cold sinners. He said, no. I grew up Baptist, but I ain't in all that religious stuff. I'm stone cold sinner. Don't you pray for me. He said, pray for her. You pray for her. I said, okay. I'll pray for her. So I put my arm on her shoulder, and he wouldn't let me touch his shoulder. And so I'm sitting there praying, and I'm praying, and I kind of get done towards the end of the prayer, and I think, you know what? I'm already praying. Maybe I've broken the ice. I'll kind of throw a prayer in there for Mike. And so I'm praying, and I get to the end, and I go, and God, I just pray for Mike. And when I said that, he goes, no, don't you pray for me. No, don't you do that. I'm telling you, buddy, lightning going to strike right here if you start praying for me. And when they left, I went back in my office and I sat down and I started thinking about what he was saying. And I could not shake the idea. Here's a guy who said that he wasn't religious but believed in God incredibly. Here's a guy who said that he didn't believe, but he did believe that Jesus knew where he was, what he was doing, and would punish him if somehow he tried to connect with him. And maybe that's like you today. Maybe that's kind of your idea of God. I'm keeping my distance because if I ever tried to close that gap, you know, then something bad's going to happen. Well, I'm a bad person, so my mom got cancer. Or if I keep using the Lord's name in vain, the car's going to keep breaking down. And while those may seem like, you know, crazy examples, there is this connection that we have to somehow God being mad at us or God being disappointed in us. Maybe you feel that way. Maybe you would say, you know what, Jason? Like, I know that you like Jesus and everything, and that's great, but like, if Jesus was around today, like if I actually had a chance to hang out with Jesus, I wouldn't hang out with him. I wouldn't be able to hang out with him. I would not be the type of person that would be allowed to get around him. And one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible that I keep written in a book that I have, just write down some of my favorite scriptures. One of my favorite scriptures is Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, because it blows up that whole idea that you wouldn't be allowed to. Or that Jesus wouldn't want you around him. Luke 15, 1 and 2 says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners. And I love that idea of notorious sinners. These were not like petty crime guys. These were the big dogs, okay? These were the big sinners. Often came to listen to Jesus teach. And this made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people. Stone cold sinners. even eating with them. So he's not just hanging out with them. I mean, he's fully invested. He's making meals. He's sitting around the table eating together. And every time I read that and I keep reading those examples through the gospel, I cannot shake the thought that the people who liked Jesus the most were the least like him. That the people who liked Jesus the most were the least like him. So maybe today you would say, no, that's, I wouldn't be able to do that or get around him. I would be willing to say that if Jesus was around today, he would want you around him more than anyone else. And you'd say, no, Jason, I know who Jesus would want to hang out with. I know where Jesus would be. I know what he would want to do. You know, he would want to hang out with those people that, you know, go to church and they've never been bankrupt or arrested or divorced or done drugs. You know, that's who he would want to hang out with. And I know what you're saying, and I'll tell you my story in just a second. We read in Luke 15 that Jesus thoroughly enjoyed hanging out with the notorious sinners. And in Matthew 15, he's hanging out with those people we just described, the churchgoers, the not doing any bad thing people. In Matthew 15, 8 and 9, Jesus is describing those people, and he says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is fake, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. Now, what Jesus is not saying here is he's not saying that everyone who is a good person is a fake person. That's not what he's saying. But he is saying that there are these people that he's around at the time who work so hard to be good that they think it helps them know God, but they are complete fakes because Jesus has always cared about the heart. It's always been about the heart. And Jesus says, these people, their heart are not connected to me. They're just trying to follow all of these man-made ideas. And so I want us to just talk about that for a second this morning. Man-made ideas as commands from God. That's what it says, Matthew 15. That these people who are trying to follow me, they teach and they follow man-made ideas as commands from God. You know, Jesus has never been impressed or concerned by how, quote, clean we get. Do you know that? That most of the things that you and I think that we need to do in order to know God are really just man-made ideas that someone else other than Jesus made up. Did you know that? And what's crazy about these lists that we create about what a Christian is and what a Christian isn't and what they're supposed to do and what they're not supposed to do, what's crazy about these lists that we put together is whoever puts together the lists always lists every sin except the one that they struggle with. And so they don't put that on the list, and then those lists get passed down, and then generationally we cross some off, and then we add some more, and whatever we add to the list we say is going to ruin the country and ruin the church, and we have all these lists, these man-made ideas that are not connected to Jesus at all, and Jesus never said that that was what was expected of us. Because Jesus has never been impressed about how clean we are or about how not bad we are. I told you that Luke 15 was one of my favorite scriptures, and it is, but Ephesians chapter 2, really the whole book of Ephesians, but Ephesians chapter 2 is my all-time favorite passage of scripture, 2, 8 through 10. And I want to read that to you this morning, because it kind of just nails down this idea that Jesus loves to be with us no matter who we are or what we've done, and he can't stand to be around us when we try to follow man-made ideas and not him. This is what Ephesians 2 verse 8 says. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece, and he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. God saved us by his grace when what? When we believed. It's a gift from God. And salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done. I want to kind of just illustrate this point to you. Corey, are you in here? Corey, come up here and help me out for a second. Everybody give Corey Burkett a hand. One of the pastors on staff with us. Yeah. That was a really weak applause, Corey. They like you. Okay. All right, So Corey's going to help us out. Corey, just kind of stand somewhere right in here for me. And I just want to kind of illustrate what Ephesians 2 is talking about today. We're saved by grace when we believe. It's not a reward for the good things we've done because we struggle with this. I'm a church kid. I've grown up, my story is, I'm fourth generation preacher. My great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather was pastor, preacher. All my uncles are preachers. Some of my aunts are preachers. I mean, I'm telling you, it's preacher fest in our family, okay? I grew up in church. I mean, we were there 3-4 days a week. I mean, my dad picked me up from basketball practice on Wednesday nights. I didn't get to miss church. I was there. It's all I know. And sometimes I wish it wasn't, because I struggle with this religious idea that I have to impress God, or that I can't know God because I've done bad things. And so these boxes today are going to represent these things. So Corey is somebody that doesn't know Jesus. Corey's a sinner, let's just say. Somebody that doesn't have a relationship with God. And so he decides, you know what, I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. I'm going to have a relationship with Jesus. And so he does that. He believes in Jesus Christ. And so what you do when you give your heart to Christ is you have to start doing things that Christians do. And we know that Christians go to church, Corey. So here, hold this right here. And Corey goes to church at least twice a month. That's big box is 4 times a month. So Corey goes to church about every other week. He makes it. Sometimes during the summer, he's here every now and then. But, you know, whatever. He's here a good amount, maybe half the month. And so Corey goes to church because Christians go to church. And so everybody applauds because Corey gave his heart to God. And I'm just saying, in general, we applaud. But that's okay. That's great. Congratulations, Corey, for going to church. And so Corey goes to church because Christians go to church. And while Corey may not think of it this way, or maybe I never say it, Corey knows that God's proud of Corey because Corey's going to church, and Christians go to church. And not only is Corey going to church, but when Corey didn't know Jesus, Corey had a potty mouth, cussed like a sailor. I mean, I'm talking about, I mean, just filthy rotten. And so he decided, you know what, I know Jesus now, and I probably shouldn't be saying some of those words that I say. And so, you know what? I'm going to clean up my language, and God helped him. And so Corey doesn't say bad words anymore because Christians don't say bad words. And Corey's going to church because Christians go to church. And his heart's right and his heart's pure, but he's thinking somewhere in there, man, I bet God is impressed the fact that I'm going to church and I'm not saying bad words anymore. But not only is Corey not saying bad words anymore, and not only is Corey going to church, but Corey decided, you know what? He saw a homeless man the other day, and all he had was a $20 bill on him. And that dude said, hey, you got any change on you? He didn't have any change, but instead of lying about it, he said, you know, man, you know what I do? And he gave him the 20. And he left giving that dude that money. He thought, Christians give homeless people money. And so now Corey keeps some money in his car, and he's trying to help as many homeless people as he can. And not only that, not only is Corey now helping homeless people, and not only is Corey not saying bad words anymore, and not only is Corey going to church, but Corey used to have a porn collection. Corey had a thing for the naked women. He probably still has a thing for naked women, but he's not watching porn anymore, right? He's not watching movies with naked ladies in them anymore, because Christians don't watch movies with naked women in them. He's doing awesome. He gave his heart to Jesus, and he's not looking at naked ladies anymore, and he's giving homeless people money, and he's not saying curse words anymore, and he's going to church twice a month. But not only is Corey doing all those things, but he heard a message that Pastor Jason preached about tithing, and he figured out a way to start tithing. And so Corey started tithing, and man, he's doing awesome. He's doing really good. And Corey's not saying it out loud, but Corey's thinking to himself, I'm doing good at this thing. I mean, I'm going to church, and I'm not cursing anymore, and I'm giving money to homeless people, and I'm not looking at porn anymore, and I'm tithing. And then Corey said, you know what, Pastor Kim, I heard you need preschool teachers. I'll do that. I'll come to both services. I'll serve one. I'll attend one. And so, you know what, I'm going to start serving. And man, Corey's doing awesome, and Corey's thinking, man, being a Christian's great because I'm doing all the good things and I'm not doing the bad things. And then some of Corey's friends notice that he's doing all this stuff. And they start thinking to themselves, I wonder if that's what being a Christian is. You know what? I guess that's probably what being a Christian is. I guess being a Christian means I go to church and I don't say curse words and I give homeless people money and I don't look at naked women and I pay tithes. And I serve and help kids. I guess that's what being a Christian is, because Corey's a Christian, and that's what That's what Corey does. That's what Corey does. And Corey decided, you know what, I had a little bit of a drinking problem. I wasn't just having some wine, you know, I was kind of getting wasted at all the tailgating parties and everything, and so Christians don't drink anymore. And so I'm not doing that anymore. And Corey is balancing everything that it means to be a Christian. Because this is what Christians do. This is what Christians have to do. And Corey's trying to tell his friends about Jesus, and he's trying to explain it, but all he can help do when he tries to explain it is all he can do is say, well, I don't do this, and 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 I don't do this. And he's carrying this weight all around. He's carrying this weight all around. But let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that this is not what being a Christian is. Did you know that Jesus never said anything about this? He didn't. He didn't. And Jesus never said anything about not doing things so you can be a Christian. And Jesus never said anything about things that you have to do to make sure you're a Christian. He didn't say anything about it. And this is what we think being a Christian is. And this is what some of you in the room today maybe think this is what being a Christian is. And maybe you're thinking about following Jesus, but you're not sure if you can buy into all the membership fees. You're not sure if you can buy into everything that it means and what you have to do. But listen, let me explain something to you. This is not what being a Christian is. This is what being a Christian is. This is the cross. And there's no strings attached. And Ephesians chapter 2 says that we are saved by His grace. When? When we believe in this right here. When we believe in this cross. You say, Jason, I still got some issues. Welcome to the club. I got all sorts of issues. You say, well, man, I still cuss sometimes. Welcome to the club. Not in front of y'all, but every now and then I do. And I'm not even the pastor that cusses the most. We'll talk about that later. You say, well, Jason, I struggle with lust. Welcome to the club. We fight for our lives with all that we can to protect the purity of our minds and our hearts. But do you think that somehow you've got to clean all of that up and balance all of those boxes before you get to come to Jesus Christ? Do you think that somehow after you come to Jesus Christ that you're going to be able to somehow balance all of those boxes? Well, this is what being a Christian is right here. The cross sealed the deal. The cross was enough. Are your arms getting tired yet, Corey? You doing all right? Just stay there, buddy. Because salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done. You can't brag about it. See, God doesn't save you because He goes, well, you know, they've been clean 3 months. I'll save them. Well, you know, they've been good for 6 weeks. I'll save them. Salvation's not a reward for being good. Salvation is a gift to everyone who's bad. Messes that we are. So let me tell you what the Bible says we need to do in order to know God. It's actually really simple. Because this is not what being a Christian is. This is not what being a Christian is. The Bible says in order to know God, it's really simple. The first thing we have to do is believe that we are sinners, not good enough to know God on our own. That's the first key. See, the problem with this is we start thinking we're good. That's the problem with this. We start thinking we're good. Hey, listen, man, I'm doing really good at this. I'm really doing good. I'm not doing bad things. Aren't I doing so good? And the one thing that God hates more than anything else is pride. God can't work with pride. So the first thing that it takes in order to be a Christian, or first thing it takes in order to follow God, is to just admit, you know what, I'm a sinner. I'm not good enough to know God. I'm not good enough. I will never be good enough to know God. I'm not. And then the second thing that it takes to know God or to be a Christian is you have to really believe that there really was a man named Jesus. He really was God's son. It's not fiction. It really happened. He really was and is God's son. And he really did come and he really did live a perfect life and he really did die on the cross because we're not good enough. And so now there comes a point in our life where we say, you know what? I want to know God. I want to know God. The problem is you're not good enough and I'm not good enough to know God. But when we really believe that there really was a guy named Jesus who really was God's son, who really did live on this earth, and he really did go to the cross, even though he didn't have to, the Bible says when we do believe that, that makes us good enough to know God. That when we really do believe in the cross, that God says, you can know me. You can have a relationship with me. And all that being a Christian is spending the rest of our lives trying to know God as best we can. That's it. You say, well, Jason, what about all that stuff? I would just say, just get to know God as best you can. If you ever feel like God's leading you to do something or give up something, do it. Fine, great. But that's not what being a Christian is. Being a Christian is admitting I'm a sinner and really believing that Jesus really did live. And he really did die, and he really did raise from the dead. See, God is not impressed by your good life. And he's not mad at you for your bad one. Do you know that? Please hear that. To all the religious, prideful people in the room, and to all the beaten up, I'm not good enough people in the room, Jesus is not impressed by your good life. He's not. You hear me say this all the time, but listen to me. Some of us work harder on the perception of our relationship with Jesus than we do our actual relationship with Jesus. And it is exhausting. It's exhausting. Corey, is it exhausting? It's exhausting. And it's all about how we look or what we do. And listen, Jesus is not impressed by how good you are. And that will free some of you up this morning. You need to receive that. Jesus is not impressed. I did not understand it or believe it until I had a kid. It took me 24 years of my life. Until every night when I started tucking my daughter into bed, I started saying, Sadie, you know, I love you no matter what. Daddy will always love you. Do you know that, Sadie? Yeah, you know Daddy loves you? Yeah, Daddy, you keep telling me that. I'm telling you again, no matter what you do, I will always love you. No matter what. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, Daddy. No matter what. I love you. And then I started thinking, I wonder if that's how God feels about me. And Jesus is not mad at you for your bad life. Thank you, Corey. You can sit the boxes down. Everybody give Corey a hand. God just wants you to get to know him. He just wants you to get to know him. We'll figure out all the other stuff on the other side of the cross. You got questions? Great. Let's figure it out on that side. You got issues? Great. We'll figure it out on that side. You're a mess? Great. We'll figure it out on that side. None of that keeps you from knowing God. Let me close by reading you this passage of Scripture. This is why we celebrate Easter. This is the meaning of Easter. This is why it's such good news. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 10, Paul's writing, and he says, Jesus died for our sins, just like Scripture tells it, that he was buried and that he was raised from death on the third day, just like the Bible tells it. And then he presented himself alive to Peter and then to his closest followers and then later to 500 of his followers. Most of them still around, by the way, which that's kind of nuts. Like, hey, you know Bobby over there? Yep, Bobby walked with Jesus. And then he spent time with James and the rest that he commissioned to represent him, and that he finally presented himself alive to me. It was fitting, Paul says, that I bring up the rear. because I don't deserve to be included in that inner circle. As you well know, having spent all those early years trying my best to stamp God's church right out of existence. But because God was so gracious, so very gracious, here I am. And I'm not about to let His grace go to waste. But because God was so gracious, so very generous, I'm not about to let that grace go to waste. In front of you, in the chair right in front of you, down in the bottom, there's a little shelf in the chair right in front of you, and there's a white card. Will you take that out for me right now, please? Everybody should have one, the chair right in front of you. It just says spiritual survey at the top. And listen, it's Easter, and we know we had 180 people here last night. We got about that here today. We're going to have that again at 11:30. We know that lots of people come to church on Easter, and we don't think that's a bad thing. We think that's a great thing. No guilt and condemnation from us, all right? But we also know this. There's a lot of people here today who may not know Jesus Christ, who may not have a relationship with Him. And we want you to know that Jesus loves you. He's not mad at you. He's not punishing you. He's crazy about you. And all He wants you to do is get to know Him. And so there's a spiritual survey card right there, and there's A, B, C, and D. And in just a second, I'm going to tell you what A, B, C, and D means, and I'm going to ask you to check one of those boxes. I'm asking everyone in the room to participate. There's just no gimmicks. There's no tricks here. I'll tell you about the bottom in a second, but I'm going to ask everyone in the room to participate, A, B, C, or D, and here's what it means. If you're here today and you would say, Jason, I have already accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. If we can throw that slide up there, guys. I have already accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I follow Jesus. I ain't got all my issues worked out, but I have already accepted Jesus Christ. Then you check A. If you're here today and you would say, Jason, I don't know Jesus. Maybe I did a long time ago, but I do not follow Jesus. And I am ready to become a believer in Jesus today. And I want you to check B. If you're here and you would say, I'm considering becoming a believer in Jesus, but not today. I can't promise you you're going to be here tomorrow. I'm not trying to dramatize it. I just can't promise you you're going to be here tomorrow. But you would say, you know what? I'm thinking about it. I'm just not there yet. Jesus is not threatened or intimidated by the fact that you're not there yet. All right? But you say, I'm considering it. And then D is, I have no desire to accept Christ as my Savior. Leave me alone. My mom wanted me to come. I came. I'm fine. All right? A, I've already accepted Jesus. B, I'm ready to believe today. C, I'm considering it. D, I don't want anything to do with it. Would you right now just check off one of those boxes, asking everyone to participate this morning, A, B, C, or D? And then listen, if you're here today, we're going to pray in just a second, and you checked B, and you would say, you know what, Jason, today's the day I'm ready to commit my life to Jesus Christ. If you would, you don't have to. We're not pushing this on you. This is completely your call. But if you're making a decision to follow Jesus today, and you would like for us to connect with you, no spam, no email blast, sign up. We're just trying to connect with you. Would you provide an email address and or a phone number that we could connect with you? And just write your name on there. Hey, Jason, B, here's my email address or my phone number or both. I'm ready to follow Jesus today. Based on what you said, Jason, and based on what I'm feeling in my heart, I'm ready to believe in the cross and believe in Jesus Christ and ready to get to know God. Just a few more seconds I'm going to give you to fill that out. Maybe you're considering, but you have questions, and you just say questions and put your name and email address or something. We'd love to reach out to you and try to answer as many questions as we can. If you've had a chance to do that, would everybody just bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Here's what we're going to do today. I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with me. We're going to pray all together. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. And if you're here today and you checked B on your card, when you pray this prayer and you mean it, you're going to believe in Jesus Christ. You're putting your faith in Jesus Christ. He's going to save you this morning. But you got to mean the words. There's nothing special, powerful about my words. If you mean them from your heart, then Jesus Christ is going to save you today. So will everyone pray with me? Even if you didn't check me, I'm asking everyone to pray to give some confidence and boldness to those who did. Will everyone pray with me right now? Say, Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I did not deserve it, but I'm grateful. The next time I fall, help me to get back up and run to you, not away from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we just give a hand to everyone who gave their heart to Jesus this morning? Best decision you've ever made in your life. And we don't want this to be the end of something. We want this to be the beginning of something. Cecil's going to close us out and give you some instruction, and then the band's going to lead us in some music. But I love you guys. Thank you so much. If we can do anything for you, we will. All right?
Thank you, Pastor Jason. Thank you guys all for being here with us on Easter. We hope you guys had a great service and a lot of great things heading your way the rest of the day. Spend time with family or whatever you have planned. But before you go, we got some things we want to tell you. We're going to close out with a time of giving. So I want to ask the ushers if they would go ahead and come on down to the front. But before we collect the tithes and offerings today, I want to let you know a couple things. One, all the cards that you got today, you asked for it, drop that in the bucket as it comes by. The Connect card that you filled out for us that was part of your worship guide, just throw that in there. And also what you checked, the A, B, C, or D, drop those in so we can connect with you guys. Our goal is not just to say, hey, here's Jesus, and send you on your way, and you're on your own. Our goal is to connect with you in a very personal way. We want to help you with those next steps. So here's what we'd like for you to do. If you did check B, I'd like to accept Christ today, and you accepted him into your heart, we've got a team that's in the back that's going to have a green bag. It's just got some stuff we want to give to you. We just want to really give you some things that will help you take those next steps, help you understand where do I go from here. You know, we really don't want to just drop you. So stop by and see one of them on your way out. Or even if you checked, see, hey, you know, I'm not sure. I've got some questions. If you've got any questions at any time, grab Pastor Jason, myself, Pastor Corey, but this team in the back is also ready for that. If you just stop by and see one of them and let them know, hey, I'm not really ready to grab the bag yet, but I've got a question. I'd like to know something about the church or about Christ. We want to help you guys however we can. We sincerely mean that, and we mean that every week. So we're going to pray over the offering. Like I said, this is our chance to continue our worship. We close out our worship with a time of giving. If you are a guest this morning, we don't want you to feel under any compulsion to give. This service is our gift to you. We appreciate you coming here to worship with us on Easter Sunday morning. But for the rest of us, let's close out with a time of giving and worship, trusting that God can take what we do together and make it bigger than we could ever do by ourselves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for the chance to come together and worship you this Easter Sunday morning. God, I thank you for sending your Savior to die on the cross, sending our Savior to die on the cross. God, I thank you for every blessing in our lives. God, as we collect this offering this morning, God, help us to be good stewards of what you've given us here at River City, in our families, in our homes, and as a church, God, that we could take what you have given us, God, and we would use it to expand your kingdom for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Say. on His unchanging grace. Every high and stormy gale, my anchor pulls within the veil. My anchor pulls within.
Put our hands together. Thank you, God, for dying for us, being raised from the dead. It's good news this morning. As you go out today and somebody says, how was Easter? Just tell them, say, it was great. I ain't good enough. Just say, I wasn't good enough, you know, but Jesus is. So, man, we're just, thank you so much for coming. We love you. Listen, if you're visiting with us today, come on back. Try three. The gifts keep getting better, all right? We love you. Well, hopefully we'll see you next week. See you guys.